Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Christ Church. My name is Eric Spies. I'm the senior pastor here at Christ Church, and it's so good to be with all of you on this Sunday morning as we come together to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today is what we're going to call our quarantine edition. As many of you know, for the last several weeks, I have been fighting the coronavirus, and because of that, I have been quarantined here in my house, and technically today, I am still quarantined. But thanks be to God, I am feeling 1,000 times better than I did last week and even the week before. It has definitely been a rough go, but thanks be to God, I'm definitely on the mend, and hopefully tomorrow my doctor will release me from quarantine, and hopefully there's not going to be any side effects except for just a lot of fatigue. I've been very tired lately. And so I want to thank all of you for your prayers. Especially for me and for my family. Thanks be to God, it doesn't seem that anybody else in my household has gotten it, and I pray it stays that way. Thank you all for your communications, for your texts, your emails, your phone calls, and your voicemails. Like I said in my newsletter this week, I'm sorry I haven't been able to respond to everyone, but every single one of your communications have been an encouragement to me, and they've nourished my soul as I've gone through the last couple weeks. And so I want to thank you for that. Also want to say thank you to Tim Melton and to Ken Morin and to everybody who stepped up and kind of made sure that the church ran smoothly in my absence. Today is a really special day. Today is a day that there wasn't going to be much that was going to keep me from being with you, because today is my 1 year anniversary of being the senior rector of Christ Church. It was this first Sunday of August 1 year ago that I stepped into the pulpit for the first time. And so today we're actually celebrating that anniversary, and we're celebrating God's goodness and God's mercy to me and my family and to you and to Christ Church for bringing us all together. And so it's just a joy to be with you today as we open up the scriptures. In order to follow along, there is the liturgy for today. It's in the newsletter. There's a link in the newsletter, and there should also be a link on Facebook. I want to invite you to go ahead and download that, and that'll help you help us all kind of be on the same page as we go through our worship time together. Well, friends, let's turn our attention to the Lord, and let's come before Him blessing our Lord together. Blessed be God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Together, let us pray. Almighty God, to You all hearts are open, all desires known, and from You no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of Your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love You and worthily magnify Your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. The word of the Lord.
The New Testament reading is from Romans 8, verses 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ, Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord.
My dear friends in Christ, the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Now, when Jesus had heard about the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to an isolated place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now, when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. send the crowds away to go to the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. They said to him, we only have 5 loaves here and 2 fishes. And he said, bring them here to me. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of our Lord.
Well, friends, as we come to our time of the preaching of the word, let's pray together. Father, you are good and your mercies endure forever. Your faithfulness lasts from age to age. So God, we come to you with gratitude, and we come to you expectantly waiting to hear from you. And so Lord, will you speak to us today as we open up your word? In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Amen. Well, as I said at the beginning, today is my 1 year anniversary of being the rector at Christ Church. It was exactly 1 year ago today that I first stood in the pulpit and preached the good news of Jesus Christ to you. And I can guarantee you that I had absolutely no idea that exactly 1 year from that time I would be preaching to you from isolation. I had no idea that that I would be quarantined while recovering from the coronavirus. I can guarantee you that a year ago I had absolutely no idea what a coronavirus was. And I definitely had no idea that this coronavirus would keep us from being able to worship in person for almost 5 months. This is certainly not how I thought my first year as your pastor would go. But do you remember the very first thing that I ever said to you from the pulpit? My first words were, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. See, I very intentionally started out that way because I wanted my ministry among you to be defined by pointing you to Jesus, who is our Lord. And I very intentionally started out that way to remind us all that it is Jesus who is sovereignly in control over all things, over my life, over your life, over the life of Christ Church. All of that is in his hands and under his shepherding care. And now even today, Jesus is still Lord. He is. That has not changed. That's why I can tell you with confidence that even after the last year, with all of its ups and downs, its twists and turns, its joys, its sorrows, that the Lord has been faithful. He's been faithful. Together we've seen the Lord's goodness. Together we've seen the Lord's mercy. And we've seen the Lord give, and we've seen the Lord take. And through it all, God has been and still is faithful. And I just want to remind you of that this morning, that God is faithful and Jesus is still Lord and he is still guiding us. Praise be to God for that. You know, now every year it's normal to want to sit down and, you know, take stock of our ministry year together. And we're going to do that in great detail at our annual meeting. But here this morning, I just want to highlight one thing that the Lord has really taught me over the last year. And that's that I have to hold things loosely. And that we all have to hold things very loosely. Now, that's a lesson that I've got to learn over and over and over again because I'm not very good at it. I'm not very good at holding things loosely. This has certainly been a year of flexibility. This has been a year where I've known that I can't write things in pen on my calendar. I've got to use a number 2 pencil and keep a very big eraser nearby. Because believe me, you know, I really wanted to hit the ground running in 2020 because I thought that keeping in step with the Spirit was going to be more like a marathon. I had no idea that keeping in step with the Spirit meant that the Lord was going to tell us to stop and to wait. Proverbs 19:21 It says this. It says, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but the purpose of the Lord, it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." You see, the same thing is echoed in James chapter 4, verse 13, where he says, "Come now, you who say, tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow brings. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. If the Lord wills." See, it's the Lord that's keeping us in step. You see, it's normal to want to come to a time like this and have a whole lot of accomplishments to show that we've had a successful year. But do you know that the Lord does not measure success by our accomplishments? He doesn't. He measures success by our faithfulness. He measures success by our faithfulness to His will. See, it's faithfulness that equals success in the Christian life. And we can either keep in, because we can either keep in step with the Spirit of God and His will, or we can be out of step with the will of God. And you know, if I can look back over this year and over next year and over the year after that and every year that we're together and say, you know what, Christ Church has kept in step with the Spirit, then that's what I believe we can call a success. And so this morning, we are going to look at Psalm 127. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn there with me, because I believe Psalm 127 is extremely pertinent for us at this point in our journey together. We're going to continue on in the Psalms of Ascent. This is a pilgrim song that was meant to encourage pilgrims on the journey, and I believe it is going to encourage us as we continue our journey together. Now, Psalm 127, it's a psalm that reads more like a proverb, actually. There's a lot of proverbial wisdom for the people of God in this psalm, and it's wisdom for the people of God who are seeking to live their life faithfully. Now, we're only going to look at verses 1 and 2. See, the rest of the psalm is actually just an outworking of the principles that's found in verses 1 and 2. And in verses 1 and 2, we're going to see that the psalm tells us three things about the Lord. And those three things are that the Lord is a builder, that the Lord is a preserver or a protector, and that the Lord is a giver. And then it's going to encourage us to live in light of those truths. So if you've got your Bibles, read along with me. Verse 1. "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain." See, the psalmist is drawing our attention to the fact that the Lord is at work. And he encourages us that we will only find success in our own work insofar as that it matches up with what the Lord is doing. Anything else is vanity, and it's laboring in vain. The word for vain is the word for emptiness or worthlessness, and there's no value to it. The Lord is a builder. He is always working. Now, that doesn't mean we get to just sit back and do nothing. No. It tells us that there's work to do. But the work that the Lord calls His church into is that which is that we participate with Him in the work that He's already doing. That we just participate with God in the work that He's doing. In fact, our mission statement gets at this point. See, we talk about our vision statement, that we want to connect with God. I'm sorry, we want to connect with God's work in the world. Mission is not about us just going out and trying to find something to do. Mission is always about seeing what God is doing and joining in with God in the work that He is already doing. You know, God doesn't actually need us, but out of God's love and His grace, He invites us into His work, and He works in us and through us so that we can experience the joy of participating in God's work. He doesn't want us to miss out, and instead He's chosen us to be His body in the world. He's chosen the church to be His hands and His feet, and as Saint Francis put it, to be instruments of peace in the world. And so The psalmist encourages us that unless the Lord is building the house, unless the Lord is working, our labor is in vain. Now, what does it mean to labor in vain? Well, I think there's a couple different things that we can think about when we think about laboring in vain. The first thing is laboring in vain would be thinking that we've completed some task by our own effort. We've done it on our own. The psalmist is cautioning us against self-sufficiency. Think about that in the context of the church. It would be like us building the church and growing the church and looking back and saying, hey, look at all that we've accomplished, all that we've done. See, as the church continues to grow in both numbers and in depth of faith, we have to remember that it is always and only God who causes the growth. Vanity is thinking that it happens by our own efforts, by our own efforts. Instead, the success of a work should cause us to look back with gratitude at God's faithfulness and at His kindness in allowing us to be used for His glory. Labor should be a source of gratitude. If it becomes a source of pride, then it's in vain. Another source of laboring in vain would be doing things that God didn't tell us to do. That's another way that we would labor in vain. And so, you see, so often we take this posture of starting a task, asking God to bless it, and then blazing ahead without even considering and waiting to hear around, or waiting around to hear if God even wants us to do that task. Even good, God-honoring work will fail if the Lord is not actually in it. See, I've known way too many well-meaning and passionate Christians who have set out on missions, or have tried to plant a church, or have begun a new program at church, only to have it crash and burn because they didn't even stop to ask if it was the work that God wanted them to be doing. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to just sit around and wait for some miraculous sign or dramatic sign from heaven telling us what to do. Most of the time, the signs from heaven is just the open door that presents itself right to us, and it's God's invitation to just step into it. But often, we do get out ahead of the Spirit, and we try to break down a door that He doesn't want us to open, or at least not open just yet. And we move before He tells us to move, and then we start wondering why things aren't quite working. Another way that we labor in vain is that we begin to build on wrong foundations. The church is founded upon Christ and Christ only, because Christ is our chief cornerstone. But sometimes we try, like the foolish man who built his house upon the sand, sometimes we try to build on other foundations. See, too often the church labors in vain because it tries to build its church on all of its really cool programs. We think if we just get the right youth program or the right children's program, then the church will grow. Or we try to build on worldly agendas like entertainment and that kind of stuff. Or we try to become an activist church and we take up some social agenda and we try to build our church on that agenda. Or too often we try to build a church on cults of personality, around a single personality. Like, we just get the right celebrity pastor or the right talented worship leader, well, then the church will grow. Now, in the right circumstances, these aren't bad things. But the problem is that if a church is built around a program or an agenda, or especially if it's built around a single person, it's going to eventually fail. I've seen it over and over again. When a church is built around a single pastor, it fails. You know, the way that you can tell if a church is built on a foundation other than Jesus, remove the pastor and see if the church stays together, or stop doing the program and see if the church stays together. See, friends, I don't want to be a pastor that tries to build Christ's church on me, because I know my limitations and I know we'll fail. I want to be a pastor who continues to build Christ's church on the foundation of Jesus, so that when my time is done here, we can look back together and we can with gratitude say, look at all the Lord has done in and through us. It is the Lord who builds. And you know, whatever the Lord builds, the Lord also protects. That's the second part of verse 1. It says, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. The words for watch over can also be translated as guard or protect or preserve. And if you've got a different version other than the ESV, it'll probably say one of those things. All throughout the Psalms of Ascent, we've seen the theme of protection and preservation. Psalm 121 says, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Last week, Tim Melton led us through Psalm 124, and it said, if the Lord had not been on our side, all of our enemies would have swallowed us alive. It is the Lord who guards us. It's the Lord who protects us. It is the Lord who preserves us. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asks his disciples, he looks at him, he says, who do you say I am? And Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so then Jesus replies, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. See, Jesus is building his church, and Jesus is guarding his church. The church stands victorious even against the onslaught of the very gates of hell because it was built by Jesus, the Son of the living God, who conquered the gates of hell. Praise be to God. See, it's only Jesus who is our good shepherd who can truly guard us and protect us and preserve the church. Nothing else can. Governments cannot preserve the church, nor can governments destroy the church. Nations and society do not preserve the church, nor do they protect the church, because the church is not built on a national foundation. The church is built on the kingdom of God, King Jesus. Pastors don't preserve the church. All I am is just an under-shepherd to the good shepherd. Now, yes, Jesus has instructed pastors to guard the church and to pastorally care and cultivate the church. He tells us that my job is to drive away false teaching. At my ordination, I took a vow to drive away all strange and erroneous doctrines from the church. That's why I really can be kind of nitpicky when it comes to matters of scripture and matters of theology and even matters of cultural ideology, because when wrong and false teaching comes into the church from whichever avenue, it's very harmful to the church and to your soul. But at the end of the day, I don't preserve the church because the church is built on the foundation of Jesus, not the pastor. The economy won't preserve or destroy the church. Economies will rise and fall and crash and rise again, but the church is not founded on economics. It's established by Jesus, the Lord of the universe, the one who has a cattle on 1,000 hills, the one who feeds 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus is the one in whose kingdom there is no scarcity. There is only abundance. Jesus is the Lord of the church, and he will provide for her. Pandemics won't destroy the church. Shutdowns won't destroy the church. Whatever else you want to name, it will not destroy the church. And you know what else will not destroy the church? Our own unrighteousness won't destroy the church, because the church is not built on our righteousness. It's built on the righteousness of Christ. Christians will fail. Pastors will fail, because we're sinners. But you know what? The church will still always stand because Christ has founded his church upon his grace for unrighteous sinners. Our salvation and our identity, it is a pure gift of grace. It was given to us as a gift. And yet, so often, we act as if we have to continue to preserve it by our own efforts. We really do. And that's a completely misguided thinking, to believe that if we have begun in grace, that somehow we have to continue by works in our own efforts. Friends, it's grace all the way down. The church and your salvation is preserved by the grace of Christ alone. That's why we can stand confident in a world that is completely falling apart. And it's why I keep encouraging you always to keep your eyes on Jesus, because he is both the author and the perfecter of our faith, who will bring our faith to completion. The Lord builds and the Lord preserves. You know what else he does is that he also gives. The Lord is a giver. Now, what exactly does the Lord give to us? Well, read verse 2. Verse 2 says, "It is in vain that you rise up early and go to rest late, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep." See, the Lord gives rest and sleep. Now, that last phrase can actually be translated a couple different ways. It can say that he gives sleep to his beloved, and it also can be translated as he gives to his beloved even while he sleeps. See, in Hebrew, both meanings are actually intended together. It doesn't always translate well into English, but what it means is that rest comes from the Lord, and even while we rest, God is still actively giving and is still actively working. You see, so often we believe that we have to work in order to rest or in order to earn our rest. That's because we live in a workaholic kind of culture. We have a culture that works all the time and doesn't take much rest. And if you take too much rest, well, then you're lazy, is what it says. We get anxious when things slow down because we've been so programmed to believe that productivity is the highest of human virtues. That's what our culture tells us. But do you know that in Scripture, that's not the case? I'm not saying that we can be lazy. I'm just trying to focus on the other end of the spectrum against workaholism, because Scripture holds out a completely different understanding for us. We believe that we have to work in order to rest, but Scripture tells us that rest is a gift. That rest is a gift from God. In fact, think of it this way. Think of the creation story. Humanity was created on the sixth day of the week. That means that humanity's first full day and humanity's very first experience of existence was a time of rest. Isn't that awesome? All that they had to do was simply marvel and wonder and just rejoice at all that God had done and all that God had created apart from them. It was a gift. Now then, God did give them work to do, but the work was simply to cultivate what God had already done and what God was already doing. It was only after the fall that work became futile and vain and difficult. God created us to work from a place of rest. And even while we rested, God would still continue to work, and he still continues to give. See, every farmer and every gardener knows this principle. You plant a seed, not those mysterious seeds that have been coming from China, but you plant a seed, and you just step back and you watch it grow, and it grows on its own. The Lord causes the growth. See, God gives us rest as a gift so that we might know that it's God doing the work, and so that we might know that everything that we have is ultimately a gift from the Lord. Everything that we have. So where does vanity come into play here? Well, our work becomes vanity when we confuse God's gift as being our wage. When we turn a gift into a wage. The psalmist, again, he says this. He says, it is in vain that you rise up early or go to bed late, eating the bread of anxious toil. Man, I love that phrase, anxious toil. But it's such a perfect description of so much of life. Well, what is the bread of anxious toil? Well, the picture here is of someone who's worked all day, he's exhausted, and he sits down at a table to eat, but he's just overcome by worry and anxiety, wondering if this is going to be his last meal, wondering if the fruits of his effort will continue to produce fruit. It's eating and wondering if the meal is going to be your last. Not because of legitimate poverty, but because of lack of faith in God. It's a scarcity mentality that's being held out here. Sure, God has been faithful today, but will God continue to be faithful tomorrow? That's a lack of faith that causes us to think that we have to keep working to the point of exhaustion in order to make up for something that's lacking. It's a lack of faith that also causes us to think that we have to work like that in order for God to maybe consider providing for us. See, it's a pretty sad picture because it confuses God's good gift as being our wage. And it's a bad understanding of who God is. See, another way that we can think of anxious toil is thinking that that we have to just keep going out in our own power and just trying to find something to do for God. Have you ever thought that? We've got to go find something to do for God. Not because we're entering into the work that He's already doing, but because we've got it in our mind that we're just not doing enough for God. And so what do? We add another program. We add another missions project. And when all that's done, we find something else. And then we add another thing and another thing. And just this frantic mentality of working for God, all because we don't know how to rest. And we simply can't stop and simply say thank you to God and rest in what He's doing. See, I think the pandemic has actually exposed this tendency in the church. I think it's caused us to stop and to think that we're being unproductive. And we get anxious about that because we don't know how to deal with that. It feels wrong, kind of. Friends, I don't want to be a pastor who leads Christ Church into anxious toil. I don't want to be that pastor. There's no need for that. In fact, I'll be honest with you. It's why we've been moving pretty slowly over the last couple months or a few months and moving pretty slowly through this shutdown. Because I don't want us to get out ahead of the Spirit. And I really don't believe that the Lord has called us to move quite yet. But you know what? It's not being unproductive. I don't think we're being unproductive. It's not unproductive to simply wait on the Lord. Think of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, where it says, "They who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength." They shall renew their strength. "They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." See, waiting on the Lord is way more productive than anxious toil. Hear that. Waiting on the Lord is way more productive than anxious toil. Paul tells us to not be anxious for anything. Jesus tells us, don't be anxious about your life. All we have to do is seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And you know what will happen? Everything else will fall into place. Everything else will fall into place. We don't have to try to get out ahead of God, but we can wait for His timing. Friends, do you realize that God is a God of time? He's the God of time. That means that He will always give us the perfect amount of time to accomplish whatever it is that He wants us to accomplish. Friends, if we wait on Him, and once He tells us to move, we can move and not grow weary, because we can move having our strength renewed. And we can accomplish that which He has us to accomplish. But remember, success is not actually measured in just accomplishing something. Success is measured in faithfulness to the will of God, because the Lord is the one who is building the house. It's the Lord who is building the house. And so, friends, if you remember nothing today, please remember this. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is building us. Jesus is preserving us. And Jesus is giving us the grace that we need so that we might be able to fully enter in to the restful work that He's prepared for us to do. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
In the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. For the peace of the whole world, and for the well-being and unity of the people of God, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For Foley, our Archbishop, and Steve, David, Thad, and Terrell, our bishops, and for all the clergy and people
of our diocese and congregation. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For all those who proclaim the gospel at home and abroad, and for all who teach and disciple others, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For our nation, for those in authority, and for all in public service, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For all those who are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
And now let us humbly confess our sins to Almighty God. And together we pray. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who in his great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all those who sincerely repent and with true faith turn to him, may he have mercy upon you. May he pardon and deliver you from all your sins. May he strengthen and confirm you in all goodness and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. I invite you to exchange the peace with someone in your household or even in the comment section below with everyone who is watching. Thank you. Well, friends, just before the blessing, I have a couple of announcements for you. First thing I want you to know is that this afternoon, communion will be distributed at the church from noon to 1 o'clock. I won't be there. I'm still in quarantine. But Ken Morin will be there again, and he will be distributing bread that's been pre-blessed. We do reserve pre-blessed bread for occasions such as this. So I want to invite all of you to come out from noon to 1 p.m. and receive communion. The second announcement is actually really pretty exciting for me to be able to share with you. If the Lord wills, on August 23rd, we have planned an outdoor service. That's right, we're planning to have an outdoor service on Sunday, August 23rd. This is going to take place not at the church. This will take place at the pavilion, which is at the park at Prince Creek West. We've got the pavilion reserved there, and that is right off of Wilderness Road, not too far from the church. So go ahead and mark your calendars for that. I know that it'll be really exciting to be back together again after all of these months. There'll be some more details that come out later this week, but like I said, go ahead and mark your calendar, and we're really looking forward to that outdoor service. Well, and now, friends, receive this blessing. All our problems we send to the cross of Christ. All our difficulties we send to the cross of Christ. All the devil's works we send to the cross of Christ. And all our hopes we set on the risen Christ. May Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you and scatter the darkness from before your path. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.